Hey, everybody. Thanks a lot for getting on short notice. I won't waste a lot of time. Here with Elizabeth Warren. She's been great all day today, as usual. She's been around the world, so forgive her if she's, you know, on her last legs for the day. But she's been gracious enough to come join us, so I'll go ahead and kick it over to her.
Hi, it's Elizabeth. I am delighted to have a chance to talk with you guys. This is where the fun stuff happens. Actually, you know what happened. You know what the president did. Why don't I just pick this up in the questions and see what people want to know about?
Thank you.
Okay?
Yep.
Good. Let's do it.
Thank you. If there are questions, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone indicating that you are in queue. You may remove yourself from queue at any time by depressing the pound key. Once again, please press star followed by one. Questions at any time. First question is from the line of Zach Carter up in Seaport. Please go ahead.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for having the call.
Hi, I'm delighted to do it, Zach.
All right. So last year, Rahm Emanuel told members of the Senate that the White House did not support you as the head of CFPB. And this year, there are whispers that Bill Daley is doing the same thing. How would you square the White House's public posture with regard to your nomination with their private one?
You know, I really have to say that. I'm just not there. I'm not in the intricacies of the political part of this. And I can't comment because the truth is I really don't know anything about it. And maybe that's my weakness, is that I just really don't follow that. I got to tell you what I've been doing. I've really been busting my tail to set up the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and get the pieces in place. And let's be perfectly clear, the reason that I can't run this agency, it's a Republican. Could they have made it any clearer that I am not welcome and I have become controversial, which I think is code for getting something done. So that's just kind of where I am on this, Zach.
But don't you think that, I mean, all the things that don't endear you to Republicans are also true for Rich Cordray and just about everybody else who is considered a contender for the job?
You know, I don't know. People seem to think that somehow there's a lot of this that focuses on me. And I'll tell you, more than anything else, I don't want to hurt this agency. What matters the most to me is that we really have been doing our job. We've really been getting pieces in place. We're really already starting to make a difference in this marketplace. And if I'm drawing fire to the agency, then that's it. I want to do what works for the agency. And this looks like this is the White House's strategy on it, and I'm supporting it fully. I want to see the agency prosper. But let me say this, because everybody needs to hear this. You need to hear it straight from me as flatly as I can put it. It is not the White House that voted against this agency. It is not the White House that has put in an amendment to repeal it, to change the funding for it, to try to put a 5-person or 7-person or 29-person hunch it to run it. The people who are trying to kill this agency are the Republicans. They like the old system, the system with, you know, 7 different agencies bumping into each other and not getting the job done. 19 federal statutes, nobody really responsible, and nobody, let's use the word accountable, nobody accountable to the American people. A huge regulatory failure that we've just witnessed. And yet, who in the regulatory side has been held accountable? So I just really want to be clear about this. We wouldn't have an agency if it hadn't been for the president. If the president has now issued a veto threat for the changes that the Republicans are putting forward. So I'll put it this way. I'm saving all the rocks in my pocket for the Republicans.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome. And if that's too partisan for you, well, shame on me. But anyway, that's where I am. So, another question?
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gerald Wyman Please go
ahead. Yes, hi. Thanks for having us on the call. I'm calling from Maine, and a lot of us in New England are curious about your prospects for the future and picking up on the rocks in your pocket. What are your plans for a possible Senate run?
Well, I got to tell you, I've really been hard at work on setting up this consumer agency, and frankly, before that, fighting to try to get it into law. I've been doing 14-hour days, and I can't think when I last had a day off. My future plans right now involve taking my grandchildren to Legoland. That's just about as far out the time horizon as I'm going at this point. That's the best I can do. I got to get home to Massachusetts. Another question?
Next question is from the line of Brian Butler, EPN. Please go ahead.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for doing this. As I'm sure you know, the Republicans' filibuster threat was a blanket filibuster threat for any CFPB nomination, regardless of political ideology or policy views. And so I'm wondering if you see and if the White House sees any way around that, what would you recommend? And do you know how they plan to get around that level of intervention?
Let me for one second, I don't want to turn this longer and burn up the time, but I really want you guys to think about it this way. We now have a nominee, and that actually frees us up a lot to have a big political discussion or, if need be, fight. The president can say, all right, you objected like crazy to this woman. You have called her controversial. Richard Shelby has said she's too aggressive in trying to hold the mortgage servicers accountable, and so on. We know what the old fights are. So the president can say, quite reasonably, I put somebody else on the table. He's got a resume here that's worth taking a look at. $2 billion in recoveries for pensioners, the first on the lines on the mortgage servicing scandal, somebody who's been a state treasurer. A sensible guy to help set up this agency. And I think what happens at this moment is we are now free to have a very open and public discussion about this agency. A year ago, we had a fight about whether to have this agency at all and if we were going to have it, whether to make it a strong, independent agency or to make it some weak, lame thing that wasn't going to get anything done. The Republicans they lost that fight. And now they want to turn around and see if they can fight it again. They want to embrace the system that failed. And my view is we can now have that fight, and we can have it in a full and vigorous way. We can have it at high volume. I think there are a lot of folks who have opposed this agency who are counting on the fact that the word will not drift back to their constituents at home. I think it's our job to make sure that the word gets out. That's so, at least how I see it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
A political fight right now would be preferable to just an immediate or, I guess, at first possibility, recess appointment to get somebody situated right away?
I'm going to say this differently. If we can get somebody in, I think that's great. It's good for the agency. The agency is then able to pick up the rest of its tools, and that's a win. But make no mistake, we get a director in place. There are still amendments out there to kill this agency. There are still very powerful Republican senators who believe that they can take the position that crippling this agency is good for American consumers. And so the fight will not be over. It's just a question of how it's going to get framed and how aggressively it will be fought.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Susan Madrick of Crooks and Liars. Please go ahead.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for having this call.
I'm glad to be here, Susan.
I actually had more of an observation. One is that I wanted to thank you for the incredible job you've done bringing this to the public's notice. You know, you've really made people feel like they had somebody very, very capable on their side. And my other question is, I wonder if there's anything specific in the way the agency set up to address consumer arbitration.
Ah, good question, Susan. So, thank you very much. It's a nice compliment. I want to say one thing about it, though. This is the beauty of an agency. I'm out there fighting, and I'm going to keep fighting. That's not going to change. We now, though, have a real structure in place. We have an agency. It has, right now, about 425 people working for it. It's going to have, it has a budget, it has resources over time. It's attracted smart and talented people from all around the country, from a diversity of backgrounds. We have something more powerful, and it is this agency. It's a lot of people working hard together to push in the same direction. This is about change, and change comes by having many, many people push on different parts of this market, on different things that are broken. And so I just want to say that I am so tickled. This isn't just about me. This is about this agency. It's what's going to make the real difference. The question about arbitration, we have a responsibility under statute to review arbitration, the impact of arbitration clauses, and that is underway. So if you'll permit me, Susan, I'm going to say watch this space as a consumer agency. We've got other stuff that had to come in first because there were specific statutory deadlines on it, but it's coming.
Great. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of David Gagan, EL News. Go ahead.
Hi, Professor. How are you doing? So I have two questions. Number one, you're going to go to Legoland. So who, when this agency opens its doors, is number one on the org chart? Who is going to run this in the absence of a director? That was my first question. My second question is about your comments about how the foreclosure fraud, servicing fraud, whatever you want to call it, investigation, which is being largely led by the states, by the attorneys general, has not really been much of an investigation. What needs to be done there in order to get an equitable settlement, and what can CFPB, when it opens its doors, do to that end?
Okay. So I want to say on the first one, David, I want to start by thanking you and thanking you for all your work and everything you've done up to now. It's really been terrific. I should say something about how the CFPB setup has been working. You know, I'm the one who stands in front when we need a face for this agency. But the truth is, we have a group that's really been putting the pieces together here and running it. We'll get an org chart out to you in the next few days. But among the things I'm worried about, it's not this one. We got a lot of people who've already been carrying different parts of making sure that the agency runs. And I promise, we'll have something before the end of the week. It'll be there. Yeah, or now. All right. So that's how press people always are. Or next week. Okay, but anyway, we'll have something out there. I promise we will on that. And it's going to be internal and well-structured. I'm really confident on that part. You know, the part on the mortgage servicing, I just want to stand with Sheila Bair on this one. You know, Sheila testified about 3 weeks ago and said that we still don't know the depth of the problem. And in the whole mortgage servicing, mortgage documentation area, I think Sheila's right. I can't believe that's actually a controversial position, but obviously I don't understand controversial around anything right now. So I think that says it all. We don't know how big it is. And
so she said millions of mortgages could be affected. So you're aligning yourself with that.
you know, Sheila's been on the front lines on this. If I, when I'm standing next to Sheila there, I think I'm in a pretty good place on this. I think that's right.
And, operator, we got time for one more question, I think.
Gee, that was a fast 20 minutes. Okay. All right. One more question. And make it a good one.
That next question is from the line of Nancy Scola, The Atlantic. Please go ahead.
Hi, Professor Warren. Thank you for having this call. It seems like in the process of standing up the agency, you're really trying to kind of bake in things that could last past your tenure there. Some of the redesign processes, various things with the website and that sort of thing. Can you talk about how successful you feel you've been in sort of, you know, setting up some things that might, no matter what site comes next, might actually last past you?
Sure. Oh, Nancy, that's a great question. And you put your finger on something, frankly, I was thinking about, started thinking about over a year ago. You know, you could start an agency with all the best intentions in the world, but the real question is whether we've built structures that are going to last over time. The sorry history of regulatory capture in the U.S. is one I pay close attention to. So can I give you just a couple of examples of how I've tried to think about this and see if this is helpful? The first one is one about transparency. And I know there's a little bit of a yada yada. You know, everybody talks about transparency right now. And what does it really mean? And are, you know, what is genuine about it? I really want to make a point here. I have really worked hard on the transparency of this agency, putting my calendar online as we develop an agenda. I'm out there talking about it. So, you know, no surprises. I was out talking to community banks and credit unions about and asking them, so what do you guys think about changing the mortgage documentation forms? And out there talking with consumer groups about it. What if we put this one up as a first item on the agenda? All the way through the process. And the reason I mentioned transparency is because I think it's hard to walk transparency back. Not saying it's impossible, but it's hard. And if the next director and the director after that and the director five directors into the future keeps his or her calendar out and visible, keeps asking and keeps telling, here's what we're thinking about doing, here's what we're working on, here's how, or what do you think, bringing people into the process, opening it up for comments long before you're in the formal rulemaking process, I think that increases the odds that this agency will continue to be owned by the American people. I'll give you a second example of it. There's another reason to hang out in front of what your goals are. I know that you all have probably heard me say a kabillion times now that we're about making the prices clear, the risks clear, making it easy to compare one product, you know, one credit card to two or three others or one mortgage to two or three others. Let me tell you why I do that. Because when you hang it out in front visibly, it's hard to back off from that. And it's a whole lot easier for folks like you out in the blogging world to say, hey, that agency said this was a specific thing it was going to do. Here's an example of when they're not doing it. Here's an example, here's an opportunity where if they're serious about those goals, they can do it. So you hang a signpost on the agency explaining to people specifically what you have in mind, what your goals are, laying them out there. The odds that you'll really do them, that you have increased dramatically. In other words, I want to put it this way. It really is about accountability. Only it's not about accountability in some check-off-the-box sense. It's about genuine accountability. We explained what the vision is. We identified specific ways to measure it. And now the world can hold us accountable. That's how it should be. I feel very strongly about this. And those are the two examples that come to mind, but let's have sit down and have a drink sometime, and I'll tell you about other parts that were, oh, can I do one more? Can I add one more? Because this one really matters to me, too. In the hiring, it's been very important to me that two things happen simultaneously. Everyone has the same vision about our mission. We're here to serve American families. We're not here to serve banks. We're not here to serve Wall Street. We're not here to serve Congress. We are here to serve American families. And then I try to put it in those very specific ways about making prices clear and so on. But the other half of this that I think is really important is we come to that vision from a wide variety of backgrounds. So we have lawyers and we have economists, and we're all mixed together. We have people who've had government service and people who have no government service. We have people who come from the financial services industry. We have people who come from some community banks and people who did investment banking on Wall Street. We have this amazing variety. And then I'll even bring it down to a more specialized area. Our research group is headed by Sendell Mullinathan, who is fabulous and smart and terrific. But here's the point. We're not going to hire just one group of economists who all take the same point of view. I think that that is the height of intellectual capture. It runs an enormous risk that the agency can blind itself. And so what's been very important to me as we've done the hiring has been that we've hired a lot of people who come in with different sets of tools, different approaches, different things that they've seen work and different things that they've seen fail. We all have the same sense of mission, but we have used the tools differently, and we frame the problem somewhat differently. I think that increases the odds that we stay on mission over a very long arc. So it's that kind of stuff. That's the kind of thing that I've spent a lot of nights and weekends trying to think about and ultimately trying to execute on.
And this is just, there's one thing I wanted to add to that too, which is in terms of accountability, is actually not just a theoretical thing here anymore, because we have an Inspector General's report that, you know, is exactly this. It's about transparency. It's about holding the agency accountable. And it speaks directly to a lot of the criticism you'll hear about this being a sprawling, unaccountable agency. That seems to be the main line of attack. And yet there's a report from the Inspector General that's, you know, almost sparkling clean. It's people that have looked at
not spectacles. Almost. Okay. It's sparkling clean. Excuse me. I just would like to be clear. This is a term of art. We got an A plus on that.
I'll put an asterisk in the transcript for that.
There you go.
But David Day, who asked a question earlier, had a good post on that. I suggest people take a look at it, and it's actually a very strong pushback on that that main line of attack.
Can I just say? I know I'm supposed to quit here, but can I just say on this? This notion that the Republicans kind of throw up, oh, we want more accountability, there's a part of me that just says, really? So is it more accountability like when we had the 19 federal statutes that were overseen by 7 different agencies and nobody has been held responsible for what went wrong? No one, there's been no fingers pointed at anybody in that structure other than just kind of a general, oh, well, you know, these things happen. Or is it the accountability that they're talking about here, that what we can be overruled by other agencies? There's, so far as I know, there is no agency in federal government who is subject to that. Or is it the part on money? Every single banking regulator except this agency can determine its own funding level. You know, the OCC decides they want to hire some more people, they just tell the banks to pony up more money, because that's the deal. Not us. We have a capped budget, and if we need a dollar more than that, we've got to go back to Congress and jump into the political process. What these guys are looking for is not more accountability to the American people. They want to put us into the political process on our funding, which is ultimately more accountability to lobbyists. They want us to have multiple directors at the top so we can all bump into each other and not get anything done. That's not about accountability. It's about getting nothing done. So I just really think this notion that, you know, I see this often in the press, you know, it just kind of gets reported. Well, and what's the Republican problem? The Republican problem is accountability. No, guys, it is not. You can say it. But that doesn't make it so. All right, I know, I'm supposed to quit.
All right, I mean, thanks a lot for coming on. Thanks a lot to Elizabeth Warren for taking time at the end of a busy day. And if you have any last words?
Nope, I'm glad you all are out there. The more you write about this, the more people get to follow it and see it. You know, we didn't get this agency a year ago because a bunch of high-paid lobbyists wanted it to be there. We basically got it because of grassroots work, because of people who followed it on the blogs, because a lot of the people here wrote about it. I had hoped that was it. We won the fight and there would at least be a respite before people were talking about changing the engine in the car. But that didn't happen. They still want to fight about it. I'm just grateful every time you write about this, every time you talk about this. This is how we make this agency real across the country. And frankly, you hold us accountable. That's good. But you also hold those other guys accountable in this debate. We are still in the fight for our lives. So I appreciate whatever you can do. Keep writing about it.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference. We do thank you for joining while you use AT&T Executive Teleconference. You may now disconnect. Have a good day.